Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Getting ready to tag on to the last video. I know you can see when I don't change my shirt, that means I'm doing probably two or three videos at the same time, which is totally okay. I have to do that because of my traveling schedule. We've just been so busy, but so many wonderful things have been happening. I can't wait for the month of December where I'm actually going to be off. And I'm going to be able to just really get in that prayer tower with the Lord and just get renewed and refreshed for the new year. And where we want to really see the healing center, which is called Healing by Design Healing Center, take off until we have enough people to really go three times a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We're looking for a building. We're believing God for these things. Believe with us, as I know the Lord wants to take this healing center to the level where we can challenge the world that Jesus Christ is still alive on the throne. His love is toward us, even to heal our bodies of every sickness and every disease. Well, I always give you Matthew 11, 27 to 30, because it's my favorite passage where I believe it summarizes so perfectly the whole Bible into an invitation of Jesus to us, that we would come to him and learn how to have a relationship with the Father exactly like he does. Verse 27 in the Message Bible, Matthew 11 through 27 to 30. And Jesus resumed now talking to the people yet tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Notice when he's in the midst of inviting us to have that relationship, what he has to do is he has to show you that you've been in religion. Because if you weren't in religion, you would have already had the relationship. So the first thing he says is, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Walk with me, keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, I certainly like the no heaviness and the freely and lightly life of enjoying Jesus and walking in the grace of God, testifying to the many wondrous experiences of God who is in my life. How about you? Well, I look back here. We left off with Luke chapter 14, 26, where Jesus is actually saying, if you really want to be my disciple, because you can't be my disciple unless you're willing to actually lose your life. To the extent where even parents, wives, family members, children, anyone, closest friends, what they say does not contradict what God says, or you have to go with God and not with them. And unless you're willing to actually go with the Lord, I know I've got relatives that actually, you know, have said things to me about being filled with the Holy Ghost, but they didn't go on further with the filling of the Holy Ghost to continue to speak and continue to let God do this because their spouse had not yet received and they wanted to honor their spouse. Now notice that verse is contradictory to that mentality. What I shared with you is contradictory to this verse in Luke chapter 14, 26. You can't put your spouse above the experience of God in your life. You've got to go on with God. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost. You speak in other tongues and go on and begin to develop that prayer language and that experience with the Lord and learn and hear and know and see what we're talking about. Experience God. You say, well, my spouse isn't experiencing him on the same experience in the Lord on the same level that I am. That means nothing. Now, you don't have to treat your spouse wrong. You just sit there and love him and love him, but go off on your own and experience the Lord. For it will be the testimonies of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life that will bring your spouse to the place of saying, I want what you have. You don't rub it in their face. That's not love. You don't even have to mention it. You just go on and enjoy the Lord in your prayer time. But to not do so because my spouse hasn't yet experienced that is to be contradictory to the very thing that Jesus said. And then he said, well, then you can't be my disciple. Boy, there's so much for us to understand, isn't there? Let's go on. Over here in 1 Kings 17 to 13, this is a mentality of the Lord and how he works with us, because now you've got the story with Elijah and that dear widowed woman and her son, and Elijah saw her and said, well, go get me something to drink, and she went and got something to drink and said, hey, while you're at it, bring me some type of a cake, you know, that I might have. In other words, some food. And she came back and she said, Master, she said, I don't have enough flour or oil to only but make one cake and then go into my house with my son, eat it, and then actually die. I don't have any food left. He looked at her and said, make that cake for me first. It says right here, and Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you not see that this is a mentality of laying yourself down, letting God be all in all, consecrating yourself to a purpose, and that's something that will actually cause miracle signs and wonders and testimonies and answers to prayers. This is good, folks. Come on, don't let this be a burr in your saddle. Pick the burr out, you know, twick it away, and just jump in here. Because these are the kind of things that align you with God. And I am so sorry to say, but there's nothing pretty much about the world anymore that is helping you to have this kind of mentality. I've said this before, I'll say it again, it's real quick, but we're singing with Brother Hagin down in Miami, Florida, the Rhema Singers and Band at a Holy Ghost meeting, and we went into a song, I Surrender All. I'm sure you know that, and it was beautifully, we sung it beautiful, people were worshiping, many were crying, and said, oh God, I do surrender all. And Brother Hagin walks to the platform, he takes the platform, go up to the podium, and he says, never did like that song, just patted the podium. And we all are like, oh my gosh. And we just kind of looked down thinking, oh no. And this is what he said. He said, the reason why I never did like that song is because I've never understood it. He said, when I came to Jesus, I gave him everything. I don't have anything now to give him that I didn't already give him. And when he said that, immediately in my heart and mind, it's like, that's a dispensation of time where when people said yes, they meant yes. When they said no, they meant no. When they gave a commitment, it was a wholehearted commitment. And that mentality works well with Jesus. But then bring in all the compromise. Come on, we started with some of these words back there when we were saying compromise, accommodate, appeasing, rationale, reasoning. See, those words are words of what? They're words of the world. They're not words of the spirit connected to God, but the flesh connected to the world. And these words define so much of our society. And without thinking about it, if you didn't protect yourself from it, it's possible that some of that has crept into the way you see life. And the choices you make and the reality that you believe to be real is not giving you testimonies of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not having answers. And it goes back to these particular type of mentalities. And this is what we have to shore up. Now, again, if I'm sharing these things so that you need to spend the rest of your life trying to be absolute because you recognize you need to be more dedicated and consecrated, you can spend the rest of your life and make about that much progress. How much progress can you make in your entire life trying to get your own salvation? And it's zero. What do you need? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you need to progress once you see something and realize, wow, I actually am participating in a lot of compromise and rationale, and I'm not very consecrated and dedicated. I can see that now. So what makes the change? The change is through the grace of God. Folks, let's just say it like this. Okay, so you're going hunting and you park your car. And you get your, you know, your compass out and you realize where you are in relationship to where you're going so that when you get there, you can put your compass back on your car and find it. That's a real good thing to know, you know. March into the woods a couple of miles. You do your hunting, whether you've got something or whether you don't. That's fine. And now you get your compass out and you start heading back to your car. But you realize you've kind of moved a little bit sideways. And then you get to the creek and it's no longer, you know, just a couple of feet where you can jump it. It's like 4 or 5 feet, and you've got to go even further to the right to find a spot where you can cross it. Now you got your compass on north, and yes, you will get to north, but because you've gone a half a mile to the east, you've got to now come half a mile back to the west in order to find your car. In other words, every time these mentalities cause us to choose things that are not of the Spirit and of God, but rather of the flesh and the world, you click yourself away like moving to the right. You may be going north, but moving to the right so that when you get to the street, you're nowhere to be found is your car. And people click themselves away from the grace of God constantly all day long, not knowing that the choices they make are lived in a false reality. We're sharing with you from the scriptures what is the true reality. So here's my thought. And folks, hang on this. This ought to cause you to want to just jump up and run around. And I can't because I got to keep doing this video. But the moment you recognize where you are seeing things incorrectly, where choices have been made in error, and you realize that and go to God and say, Lord, man, I see it, Lord. I'm so far off the path, but I see through the scriptures what I have to think, how I have to think and what I have to see about myself. The moment you do that and you open your heart and mind to the Lord, the grace of God, come on, I shared that earlier. The grace of God needs an open heart and an open mind. The moment he does that, instantly God puts you back at zero at your car. All of the steps and the clicks away from Jesus instantly disappear the moment. Why? The grace of God is the power and the ability and the desire that will help to perfect what you have just found out is not perfected. Come on, this life we're living is a journey. You know, somebody doesn't get saved and instantaneously, you know, everything about them is perfect. Everything about their spirit is perfect, but they've got to find God, walk with God, understand truth from the word of God and begin to apply it to their lives. But I want you to understand that the application is not about your strength. It's still all about his. So I'm going on as I'm seeing these principles here about honoring God first, loving not your life unto death. Amen. I go over to Acts 20, 24, and Paul tells me more. He says, but none of these things move me, neither do I esteem my life dear to myself, if only I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have obtained from, which was entrusted to me by the Lord Jesus, faithfully to attest to the good news of the gospel of the grace of God, his unmerited favor, spiritual blessing, and mercy. Notice what he said. None of these things move me, nor do I esteem my life dear to myself. What's he trying to say? The more, I'll say it to you another way. One of the greatest hindrances to your life is that you might possibly like yourself too much. I know that might not register real well. It is one of the greatest hindrances. Okay, what are people walking around doing constantly? They've even got sticks called selfie sticks. Is that a part of prophetic word? Yes. In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. One of the greatest hindrances to your life is if you love yourself too much. When Paul says these things don't move me, excuse me, neither do I esteem my life dear to myself, that is a key to you experiencing God. I'm going to go on to Acts 21, 13. Then Paul replied, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart like this? For I hold myself in readiness, not only to be arrested and bound and imprisoned at Jerusalem, but also even to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh my gosh, what are you trying to tell me? I have to go to jail and I have to die. I'm not telling you that at all. It is the inward conviction of your heart, making the adjustment and the grace of God to help you to see that Jesus Christ is worth your entire life. And if you're willing to die for him, that's when you won't have to. John Lake said this. Here's a wonderful grace story. He said, here I was bound for years and years as a young man with constant constipation. The pain and the suffering and the bloating that was in my body, he said, I took multiple times a day castor oil. Now, I remember when I was a young kid being punished and having to take castor oil, and I did not do what I had done that made me get that castor oil again, because that was a horrible, tasting and horrible feeling swallowing that. Oh, it'll just make you gag even thinking about it right now. Anyhow, let's go on. Lake said he literally got tired of trying to help himself and said, God, I will not disgrace you. Die if I have to, but I will honor you with my life. He said from that moment, he learned the greatest secret. Because in that moment, when he put it all over on Jesus to the fact of I give it all up, man's ways, my ways, it's just God's way and that's it. He said in that moment, he was instantly healed. And he went on to say, I found out the greatest revelation. When you're willing to die for the Lord, that's when you don't have to. Chew on that for a little bit. That's really, really good. Hebrews 11, 35 to 38. We've got just another minute. Faith-filled women saw their dead children raised in resurrection power. Yet it was faith that enabled others to endure great atrocities. They were stretched out on the wheel and tortured and didn't deny their faith in order to be freed because they longed for more honorable and glorious resurrection. And Revelation 20 talks about these individuals. And then I'll stop right here. It says, then I saw thrones and those who sat on them were given the authority to judge. I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. They had refused to worship the wild beast or its image and did not have their foreheads or hands marked by the wild beast. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. What was it showing you? Even from heaven's perspective, look at the commitment of God toward you when you commit you toward God. I love over, and I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, the body for the Lord and the Lord for the body. When you're willing to give it all over to Jesus, then you release God to be able to be free to be the fullness of God that he is. And if you just get a little tiny, tiny bit of God's goodness and love, it'll change your life forever, let alone God have the fullness of his love stretched out upon your life. It'll be amazing. Folks, this has been wonderful. Go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us to get these videos, or go to the YouTube channel Adventures in Grace and subscribe. We always want to hear your grace testimonies and stories. So go to jhmi@jimhockaday.com, our email address, and email us your grace stories. And you can find that on jimhockaday.com website. God bless you all. We'll see you next time. Adventures in Grace. Look forward to them. They're around you everywhere you go.